of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Now let's focus our attention on these words in verse 2. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Now the Apostle Paul's writing here to these Ephesian believers, and he's writing to them who were not now what they were before. They were before in times past. He says, verse 2, there it begins with wherein, and it refers back to verse 1. They were dead in trespasses and in sins. So when they were dead in trespasses and in sins, they walked in death, they walked in trespasses, they walked in sins. Wherein, in time past, you walked. And then it was according, verse 2 says, according to the course of this world. Now, the reason the Ephesian brethren were no longer walking this way, the reason they were no longer following this course, is because God chose them by His grace, the Son redeemed them by His grace, and the Spirit quickened them by His grace. They had nothing whatsoever to boast in. This was all of grace. Verse 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Now, brethren, every believer here, we walked in time past in death, in trespasses, and in sins. That's all that we were. But if we've truly been converted, if we've been quickened of God and converted, then we're not now what we were in time past. And the only reason that we are not what we were is by His grace. That is it. It is His grace alone. Every person walks a course. Now, we're either going to be walking a course according to the course of this world, or the believer is walking the course of the believer. I've titled this Two Different Courses. And it's going to make up our divisions this morning, just to look at these two different courses. Now, the course of this world is the course of the natural man, the unregenerate man. And the course of the believer is the course that is of God and of His grace. It's of God in the beginning, it's of God in the continuance, and it's of God all the way through. He's carrying His people. He's sustaining His people. It's by His power and His grace alone. All right, let's look at the course of this world. Verse 2 says, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Look at Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. God calls this man's own course. He calls it man's own course. Look, now they had God's word, the children of Israel did. They had His oracles, and yet left in an unregenerate state. Not having been regenerated by God, this is what he says about them. Jeremiah 8:6. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into battle. His course. Do you see that? Every man turned to his course. God calls it man's own course. Look at Jeremiah 17. And what many fail to understand is this right here. And this is critical. While we were dead in sins, even when we tried to do something that would be good, even when we tried to keep the law of God, even when we tried to do religious things and tried to do anything that we were trying to do that to make ourselves acceptable of God, it was all sin. It was nothing but trespasses against God. Let me read you this from Romans 7. When we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's all we brought forth was death. That's it. Now look at this, Jeremiah 17:1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars." God says the sin of Judah was cut into their nature, into their very heart, just like writings engraved in stone. And the same was true of you and I when we were dead in our sins. Our sin was inscribed upon our rock-hard hearts as it were written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond. But now look at this. It was not only there, but our sin was upon the horns of your altars. The horns of your altars. Read the next verse. "Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills." In Israel, you had the place where God put His one altar. His one altar. And that's where His people were to come. And the only way God would receive any of their offerings were if they were offered up on that one altar. But if you walked around in Judah at this time, you'd go to this corner over here, and there'd be a big steeple letting you know, here's your place you can come worship. You go around the next corner, here's another place you can worship. You go up the road a little piece, here's your another building you can worship here. It was all these groves in these different places. This little group disagreed with this group, and so they went off over here and they built them an altar in the groves of the trees, and they worshiped here. This other group went over here because they didn't agree with the other group. They worshiped in an altar over here under this grove of trees. Just like we do today. Just exactly like we do today. But the point of the matter is there was just one altar where God would receive a sinner. And all those other altars were just, it was just vanity. God said, "I don't recognize any of it that's going on. None of that do I recognize," He said. Because the Scripture says altars plural. And He gave one altar. He gave one place that we could worship. And the fact of the matter is, when we were in our sins, all our religion was vain. And we had not just one religion, we had many. We believe this today. Somebody else come along tomorrow with this idea about God, and we pick up on that too. And we just believed anything that came along. And we had all these different deeds we were offering up to God, and all these different things we were offering to God, and it was all vanity. The Scripture says, we have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. You serve the flesh when you serve the tabernacle. That's what it means. When we're serving the flesh, those who are serving the flesh. I was looking at some websites this week, and this is something that occurred to me while I was looking at these church websites. Every church website I looked at talked about what we're doing. That's what they all talked about. I looked at our church website, and our church website is, it don't say a thing about what we're doing. It has scriptures. You can read scriptures, you can read articles, you can listen to sermons, but they don't have anything about what we're doing. And if you listen to those sermons, it's all about what God's doing. And you see, there's a difference there. When you serve in the fleshly tabernacle, you're serving your flesh, and you're worshiping with your flesh, and they have no right to eat at our altar. Our altar's Christ. And everything we offer through Christ, God receives as having been done as perfectly as Christ did. This is how God describes those who walk after the flesh. Peter said in 2 Peter 2:10, they walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. This was, he was describing preachers, false preachers, and those that follow them. He says they walk in the lust of uncleanness. They despise government, that is, rule. They despise it. Men who are in religion, where you're being yoked and told to do this and that and this and that and that, you don't like it. When you were in it, did you like it? You don't like it. And they don't like it either. They despise it. And the people who are doing it to them despise government too. They despise God's government. They will not bow to God, who the head of His church, who has to rule over His people and teaches His people in the heart through the preaching of the gospel. They would rather be busybodies in everybody else's business instead of just preaching the gospel and waiting on God to do the work in the hearts of His people. They despise government. They're presumptuous. Oh, we're all going to heaven. We're all going. They're going to heaven the same as we are. We differ a little bit, but we're all going to heaven. Presumptuous. Self-willed. Oh, I can do what I will. I came to God by my will. I stay by my will. I give by my will. I do everything by my will. Self-willed. And not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Dignities means God, His Christ, His preachers, His people, as well as those that God's put in roles of authority in civil government and in the household. Not afraid to speak evil of dignity, of authority. We're not governed, when we're not governed by Christ our head, the course of this world is our walk. And the walk of the natural man, Paul described it when the Corinthians were doing this. And the ones Paul was talking to in the church, who he called carnal, were carnal. They were not believers. He said, you're carnal. There's among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal? Do you not yet walk as men? That's the course of this world. It is envying and strife and division. That's what it is. Well, look back at our text. It describes further the course of this world when it says, they walk according to the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, the spirit that right now is working in the children of disobedience. That's whose power they're under. Verse 3 says, it's to walk in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And then in verse 3 it says, it's to walk and to live as children that are full of wrath against God. Verse 3, we were by nature the children of wrath even as others. There's only one reason. If you were in religion or you just weren't in religion at all, false religion or not in any religion at all, the one reason that you didn't like to hear about the true and living God and you didn't like to hear about things that reminded you of God being sovereign and of God saving through Christ alone and things like that is because you were by nature the children of wrath. You were by nature, your nature was enmity against God. That's why our mothers and fathers, our sisters and brothers, our husbands and wives don't like to hear about the Bible. That's why they don't want to come to church, because their nature is wrath against God. It's enmity against God. And that's so of folks in religion that's boasting of their will and presumptuous what have you. They don't want to hear the true and living God. They get angry very fast, very angry, because their nature is enmity against God. All right, now, remember this now, brethren. Remember this. If you see in your loved ones, you see in your friends, your children, that they have this nature, they have this way about them, it seems like there's no possible hope in them that God would call them and have mercy on them. Just remember, this was us. This was us. But God, verse 4 says, who's rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, and by grace you're saved. He can have mercy on them too. He just may do it. He just may do it. All right, let's look at the course of the believer. By God's grace, by the mercy of God, we've been quickened. We've been given grace by Him. And now we're in another course. This is the course of the believer. Note very carefully verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. You see that? Put off the former conversation, the former course of walk, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. I want everybody to listen to me, every believer. Don't ever misunderstand what a true gospel preacher means when he says you're not under the law, but under grace. We're not saying that a child of God has liberty to live in sin and rebellion and trespasses against God. That's absurd to think that. We're accused of saying that. As Paul was, he said, as we be slanderously reported, as some say, let sin that grace may abound. That's not what we're saying. That's not what we're saying. We declare emphatically, without a shadow of a doubt, that the believer is not under the law in any shape, form, or fashion. That God sent Christ, and Christ has so fulfilled the law in precept and penalty for His people that sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. We're not called, we haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear. God's not going to throw us off. He's not going to cast us off anymore. He's given us the spirit of adoption so that we can cry out to Him, Abba Father. So that's what we mean without a doubt. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. But believers, every believer truly converted of God, that's truly converted, are turned out of the course of this world wherein we walked in time past. And we're turned into Christ the way. And we're walking after Him led of the Spirit. The grace of God effectually instructs us in our hearts and teaches us in our hearts that we should live. We should deny all ungodliness and all worldly lust, and that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And if the world rules our hearts, a believer will see himself as a sinner, and a believer will fall a lot, especially a new believer. But if we don't mourn our sin, and if we're not brought back to Christ to where we are constantly confessing our sin and constantly asking Him for grace to keep us and lead us to where we don't want to walk anymore in sin. But if the world rules our hearts to where we can just give ourselves to it and enjoy it with no thought whatsoever about it, then we haven't been converted. We just haven't been converted. The desire of the believer is to honor and glorify His Father. My children, they know how much I love them. If they do, and they love me, then they will try to honor me in their life. And they understand that if they get into trouble, it's me that they're dishonoring. And that makes a child want to honor their father and their mother. That's what it is with what Christ has done for us. We have the greatest motive and the greatest constraint, more than any kind of legal constraint or any kind of yoking of men would ever do. That kind of yoking does not curb the flesh. That's what Paul said in the last verse of the second chapter of Colossians. It's got a good show in false humility and of denying the flesh and all that, but it does not satisfy, it does not do what they're trying to do. It doesn't make the flesh, it doesn't put it down at all. It doesn't. It puffs a man up in his fleshly mind. Paul said that about three or four verses before that. That's what it does. But to be under law, this is our constraint. The love of Christ constrains us. Because we judge, if Christ died for all His elect, then all of His elect were dead. And so that now we're all alive, that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, for ourselves, fulfilling the desires and lusts of our mind, our God being our belly, but we should live unto Him who died and who gave Himself for us. To be under law is to be constrained because you seek to merit salvation. You seek to get a reward because of what you've done. You're trying to put in an investment of time to get a return on the investment. That's law. To go around looking at others and saying, they ought to be doing this and they ought to be doing that, and why don't they do this, why don't they do that? That's law. That's law. But to be under this constraint of love, knowing that the Scriptures don't ever tell me how others ought to treat me, so we can just take that finger and cut it off. The Scriptures tell us how we're to treat others. That's a big difference. To be constrained by love, to be constrained by grace, by His mercy, by what He's done for us, that's what it is to walk in love and to walk in faith. So the believer does have a course. We got a course to walk. The Spirit of God says through this letter to Ephesians, look at Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Look at verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from here forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 2. Verse 1, he says, walk as children of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Look at verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So Paul is going on and on in this letter. This is what he's concerned about, walking in the course of the believer. Ever since God's made me your pastor, I've been growing in love more and more for you. And I made a bunch of boneheaded, dumb stunts, dumb mistakes when I was a young believer. And I don't want you to make the same ones. Just like I don't want my own children to make them, I don't want you to make them either. So let's look and see what God says about this course, and let's walk this course by His grace. The Scripture says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Even as he walked. Talking of Christ. That means we ought to study Christ, is what it means. Not one another. Christ. And we ought to set our affection on Christ and study him. Christ is made of God unto us wisdom. He's made of God unto us righteousness. He's made of God unto us sanctification. He's made of God unto us redemption, so that we have nowhere to glory in but in the Lord. We will not get any more righteous than we are in Christ. We can't get any more sanctified than we are in Christ. I told you this before. When you become a human being, you grow as a human being, but you don't become more of a human being. And when you are sanctified, you grow as a saint, but you don't become more sanctified. Progressive sanctification, if that's what they mean by the word progressive sanctification, it's wrong. You don't become more sanctified. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. All right? Study Him. He's the best. Now, we don't get more of these things, but we are righteous in Christ. We are holy in Christ. We have the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, and that holiness is Christ. But Christ is the best example we can study of how it is to walk pleasing unto the Lord. He is the preeminent example. In most every epistle in the New Testament, you'll find the apostles that are writing those epistles, you'll find them using Christ and saying, walk as He walked. Follow Him. Look at Him. Study Him. To do that, we're going to have to study Him. We're going to have to look into these Scriptures and study Him. Listen to this word right here from John. He said, I beseech you, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. He's talking about Christ. And he says, and this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. All right, you take a believer who's dead in sin. God regenerates him and begins to teach him the gospel in his heart. What's the first thing that we hear from the very beginning that God teaches us in our heart? We start thinking, when we see our sin and He shows us our sin, we start saying foolishly, like those on the day of Pentecost and like the Philippian jailer, what shall we do? And the Lord teaches us in our heart, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. That you believe on Him whom He hath sent. And then as John teaches us right here, Christ teaches us from the beginning, and love one another. Love one another. Faith and love is the course that the believer walks. We walk by faith, and we walk in love. This is the course the believer walks. Now, look with me at Colossians 2, and hold your place in Colossians. I'm going to come back here. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. You see that? Established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, that is, fleshly things, particularly the letter of the law, and not after Christ. Men are going to come along and they're going to tell you, that's fine to believe Christ, but now, except you be circumcised, except you go back to the law, except you do this. They're going to come along and tell a man who Christ has made absolutely perfect in Him. Not in ourselves, but in Him. And made the righteousness of God, who's seated at the right hand of God with Him right now, and come along and tell that man, now except you add something, you can't be saved. That's foolishness. And Paul says, you walk in faith. You be rooted and grounded in Him, trust in Him, look into Him, with your affection set on Him, and beware of any man that tries to spoil you with his vanity, with his philosophy, with his minding the things of this flesh. Beware of that, because, verse 9, in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. How much better does it get than complete? That's what, see, you get Paul's point here. Walk in faith and beware of fellows that try to turn you from Him, because in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead and you're complete in Him. So walk after Him. Walking after the commandments of Christ that He gave unto us is to walk in newness of spirit, is to walk in faith and love, rather than in the oldness of the letter. I want to show you what that is here in just a moment. But right now, let me show you this. The believer's course is a fight. Now understand this. When you say you're walking in faith, number one, you've got an old man of flesh who's a Pharisee, a self-righteous man by nature. And you're going to constantly have this voice in your conscience that's saying, well, you need to be turning back to this law. You need to be turning back. You need to be observing this day and that day and doing this thing. You're going to have to fight that man. And then, as Paul said, you have these other men that's going to come along. It's going to have their philosophizing that they've come up with, because it's not according to this book. And they're going to be telling you, turn back to this or that, or observe this or that, or whatever. Puffed up in their fleshly mind, Paul said. Not beholding the head, from whom all the bands by joints and bands have their nourishment ministered to them. When you're a baby and you know where your food's coming from, who do you look to? You look to the one that's got that food. That baby's looking to her mother. That child knows where the food's coming from. Look here in Colossians 2. Look down here in verse 19. He says the problem with these fellas who are puffed up in their fleshly mind is they're not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and are knit together and increased with the increase of God. So if you're dead from the rudiments of this world, from the touch not, taste not, handle not, Christ has taken that out of the way and nailed it to His cross, and you know that your nourishment's coming from the head, from Christ Jesus the Lord at the right hand of the Father, who would it be wise to walk looking toward? Who would it be wise to have your mouth open to all the time, wanting to drink in the water of life and feed upon the manna from heaven? Wouldn't it be wise to walk in faith looking to Him? looking to Him with our minds and our affections set upon Him. I'll never get through this. Well, I do want to show you one more thing, though. Turn with me. We'll go back and look at this another time. But turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5. This is one point I want to make to you very, very carefully here before I move on. What I'm trying to say to you is if we're going to do this, we're going to have to give ourselves to the gospel. This is how He's going to feed us. He's going to feed us to the gospel and not just come in here and then go home and not study what you've heard. Be like the Bereans. Go home and study what you've heard. I may fall off my rocker one day and get up here and start saying things that aren't even in this book. Go home and check me. Go home and take what I've said and look it up. You can get my notes. They're on Free Grace Media. And go on there and study them. You can look them up by article. You can look them up by bulletin. You can look them up by sermon. You can look them up by scripture. However you want to look them up. And go and study these things. And study them. This is how He's going to feed us. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. But here's what I want to show you. Galatians 5. What is it to walk in newness of spirit? Look at here, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. It's a fight. It's a fight we're in. Paul said, I fought the good fight, I finished my course. It's a fight. We got to fight our flesh, we got to fight these outside fellas. To walk in the Spirit is to be giving your full attention, your full affection to Christ, to His gospel, to His Word, seeking Him in prayer. The more you study His Word, the more you'll want to study His Word. The more you feed the new man, the more the new man will prevail over the old man. And the more you feed the old man, the more that old man will prevail over the new man. Feed the new man. Feed the new man. Walk in the Spirit. All right, watch this. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the law. Now, when He says you can't do the things you would, I want to fulfill the law perfectly. I want to do everything Christ said and do it perfectly and never falter in it. But because I've got an old man with me, an old man of flesh, I can't do what I would. I cannot do what I want to do. But here's the good news. We're not under the law. We're under grace. We're under grace. Now, the works of the flesh are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that live in these things, those that this is their meat, this is where they're walking. That's how we walked in time past. But now here's what it is to walk in newness of spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the spirit of the law. This is what it is to walk in newness of spirit as opposed to oldness of the letter. The letter of the law doesn't teach love. The letter of the law, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, that it doesn't teach love. It doesn't teach joy. It doesn't teach peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Where do you learn these things? Look into Christ. Look into Christ. That's where we learn these things. But don't be desirous, he says. Well, verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, what does that mean? Verse 12, look at it. This is what it is to have walk in vain glory. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be, and name it. You name it. They constrain you by the law. They constrain you to be circumcised. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. They're not doing what they tell you to do. But here's what they're doing. They're desiring to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Don't desire to try to yoke your brethren into doing nothing. doing anything. Don't try to make your sons and daughters, your husbands and wives, your brothers and sisters, don't try to make them do anything. If you make them straighten up and make them have the impression that by that they're now right with God, you have committed a grave, grave offense against them. You've given them a false hope. Don't try to make them do anything. If you want to do something, tell them the truth. Tell them what Christ has done. Tell them what Christ has done. Here's the rule we're under, verse 14. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. It's not keeping the letter of the law or not keeping the letter of the law. That doesn't avail anything. Here's what matters. A new creature. Being made new. Being made to have a heart of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. To be made a new creature. And he says, as many as walk according to this rule. What rule are you under, Clay? I'm under this rule right here. This is my rule of life. Walking by faith, which works by love, not law. Not law. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. Amen. I'll never